بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم had been predicted in the former scriptures. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. We also give you the news of a Nabi that is to come after me, and his name is Ahmad. So, in the Old Testament, these predictions are contained up to this day. Gospel of Barnabas, then in the James, St. James Version, then in the chapter John. But just that, when they translated the scriptures into the Greek language, they translated the name as well. So the name they translated Paracletus. Paraclete and Paracletus. One is the one that praises Allah Ta'ala in abundance, Ahmad, Ismet of Zeal. And the other is Paracletus or Cletus, and that's a translation of Rahmatul Lil Alameen, is an embodiment of mercy. So up to now, in the 1831 printed version of the Gospel, right, printed in London, the person perhaps that translated was some name Godfrey. So up to now this is contained. In the Gospel of Barnabas, the name Ahmad appears. So there is no doubt about Islam and no doubt about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then our duty is to present Islam in its pure form, not to have an approach to try and accommodate this one and accommodate that one, have an apologetic attitude. No. Allah doesn't want us to do that. Not have an apologetic state, as it were. Recently, some tapes had come in, and people began to have an apologetic attitude approach. So they quoted the hadith of Rasulullah coming to Medina Munawwara and in his inaugural message. So how they paint the picture was, it was an assembly of mixed religions, Jews, Muslims, pagans, all. And in that assembly, he extended the message of peace, afshu salam, peace for all. The way whoever translated that, he really made a mess up, and really something to be afraid about. See, when قَالَ بِرَأْيِهِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فَقَدْ أَخْطَعَ. Some places, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. You're giving your own explanation in the Qur'an, in the Hadith, then you can take your right to disbelief. Because there's three pointers in this Hadith that would show that this was a message that was directed entirely to Muslims. The first was أَفْشُ السَّلَام, and salam, who is the recipient of salam? A kafir or a Muslim? Muslim. Now, you would have an apologetic attitude, you know, peace for all, just give the message of peace, spread the message of peace. So you are doing ilhad. That's why the Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi has prepared a book, Ilhadul Muta'awwilin wal Mulhideen fi Shay'in min Zaruriyatid Deen, right? That where people have taken a perversive approach. Right? Now to be apologetic, etc. But Allah didn't ask you to be apologetic. Nabi Sam came here and said, Ya ayyun nas wahidullah. Right? clear message of Tawheed. La abudu ma ta'abudun. Clear. No apologetic, no mincing of words. So then what gives us the right to mince the words? So there's three pointers that show that this was an audience of Muslims. One is this Abshu Salam. The second one was وَصَلُّ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Read Tahajjud namaz whilst people are asleep. Or that person, he translated and work on your spirituality. So that means he's making Ram Ram, working on spirituality. He's making cross cross, so that's working on the spirituality. But what a mess up is made, see. And then there's nobody to speak. Nobody's to speak. When that message went viral, but nobody to speak, nobody to correct. That's how Christianity became a mess up. Because someone spoke about Trinity, and then nobody to correct it. So then that became the standard. And the third pointer that shows that this was directed at an exclusive audience of Muslims, ثُمَّ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. Then enter into Jannah with peace. So according to this person, then all these people go to Jannah. Christian, ke Jew, ke Hindu, ke sab jayenge. What a mess up. So Allah Pak and his Nabi didn't want us to become apologetic. Say it. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. Pure, undiluted. مُخْلِصِين, pure, undiluted. حُنَفَى, totally devoted. Dedicated. Clean. Now you leave that audience in a state of anxiety and worry. He's messed up, he's mixed up. Is this also referring to a Jew? Also to a Christian? Also to a pagan? And the speaker is feeling very, very good about himself. See, I gave a message on peace. But he doesn't realize the mess up that he's made. And the irony is nobody to correct. So these things have to be corrected, however, without fighting, without getting into any politics or getting into any argument, to straighten these things. The child from the maktab, we are teaching him Amantu Billah wa Malaikati, right, Kutubi, and Sifati Iman Mufassal Mujmal, right? The Barratu min al Kufri wa Shirki. And here, openly, you're giving the message of Shirk, and that Mushrik also comes into Islam. See? What a dangerous thing. So these things have to be corrected. Nowadays, repeatedly, just to save people's Iman. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, these things come, the clips come here, and I must listen to it. And I can't keep it to myself now, I must correct the thing. So as Nabi Sassam arrives at Medina Munawara. Yes, definitely he was an embodiment of peace. But he was also a personification of the truth. He was also a blessing for the Ummah, right? A blessing to differentiate the wrong from the right. It was a blessing. So he showed all these things, everything he showed. And Nabi is not a gullible person. Don't think he's gullible. Abu Hazrat Ram used to say that if being gullible was a sifat kamal, an attribution of perfection, the most gullible person would have been a Nabi. But the Nabi is very alert. One is to be sharp and shrewd. That's not the work of a Muslim, to be shrewd and sharp. He has to be alert, see what's going on, and see how it has to be presented, not to confuse, not to complicate, and not to disrupt the mind. So, in the interest of the people of Medina Munawara, Nabi Sam had signed treaties with the neighboring people. Neighboring people were Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nazir, Banu Qurayza. These were all the Jews in the outlying area, approximately 6 to 8 kilometers away from Medina Munawara. The main highlight of that agreement was that nobody will support an opposition. Nobody will support an opposition against Medina or against the neighboring Jewish tribes. Nobody will support. So Jews will not support any oppositions against Medina, and Medina will not support any opposition against the Jews. But then shortly after the agreement was signed, sealed, everything, then these people can't stand still, see, to needle all the time, intrigue, inside trouble. So the first people to break that agreement was the Banu Qaynuqa. So Rasulullah held a siege against them, approximately 15 to 20 days, until they surrendered, and according to international law, they were all supposed to be killed. But again, Nabi Sam was an embodiment of peace, mercy, love, compassion. Alright. You go out of Medina Munawwara because you can't keep up to the agreement. When you can't keep up to the agreement, then the blood is not safe, property is not safe, and integrity is not safe. We need to save people's integrity, blood, and property. But you people are breaking it in the first year. So the international law was to banish them. In his mercy, in his compassion, in his love for mankind, get out of here, take whatever you want. The arms you will leave behind, but everything else you will take. Then, not many days after that, I think around the third year, this was the second year, the third year, or just past the third year, then you find the Banu Nazir breaking their pledges again. So they broke their pledges in two ways. One is, there was some get-together where they had to negotiate some terms about some blood money. So because the Jew and the Muslim was considered to be one body, when it's one body, then the entire body has to be responsible for the blood money. Right? So Nabi says, I mean, to discuss the terms. And these people, initially they showed agreement, etc. But whilst he's seated there, secretly they got one person to take a big, heavy boulder and throw it and crush Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed by Jibreel Alaihi Wasallam, got up, said, now, we can't have peace with you. That was one breach of the agreement. The second breach of the agreement was, Ka'b ibn Ashraf is the leader of the Jews. So he took a whole entourage of 40 chosen leaders right to Medina, to Makkah Mukarrama, and got to talk with Abu Sufyan and the hierarchy of Makkah Mukarrama. There will be one body to fight against Medina. Right? Held onto the ghilaf of the Kaaba Sharif firmly, and we will oust them, we will break them, we will wipe them out. So there is no point in having any type of treaties, agreements with such people, because the property is not safe, the blood is not safe, the integrity is not safe. What's safe then? Then what's the need of having this? Can't you just have it in writing? So anyway, Nabi Sam then held a siege against the Banu Nazir. They also initially خرج الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب من ديارهم ما ظننتم أن يخرجوا. They never thought that they'll leave. وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم. And they felt that their strongholds, their fortress so powerful that they will be defended against anybody. So strong, so powerful. But قذف في قلوبهم الرعب الذي threw fear into their hearts, and they also surrendered. And they were also asked, all right, leave Medina Munawwara, take whatever you want, but just leave behind the weapons. So they left. So now, all the lands became available. The Jews, they print money. You know, you see, people are very wealthy, they print money, they're so wealthy. Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nazir, they're so wealthy. Now their lands, their properties, their homes, all became available. And you can imagine now, when they were so wealthy, then what must be the standard of their homes? You know, one is living in Spingo somewhere, and one is living in Amslanga, right? Or living in Balito, right? Now all these properties, all everything became available. When they became available, So Nabi Sassam laid it out, called Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, that was then the leader of the Ansar. Call all your people, came in. The lands have become available. If you want, then we'll distribute it equally between you and the Muhajir, the refugee and you. We'll distribute it equally, right? And they will continue living in your homes. Because the agreement, what they had agreed on, was all what the Ansar owned, when Nabi Sam had made that agreement with them, then they, of their own, said, we will give half of our properties to the Muhajirin, to the refugees. How much? Half. If I got 100 shops, 50 is yours. And they meant it, they gave it. Now, look at it in perspective. Few people came here, right, as refugees or whatever it was. But we can't even house them. Feels so difficult. Here, half the properties they gave away to the refugees, all of them. And they meant what they said. They didn't find it difficult. Right? And not only half, Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu, he says to Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, they were bonded together, that Abdul Rahman, see, I've got two wives. Half my property is yours. I've got two wives. You see any one of them, I will divorce one and give it to you. Bhai, aisa dil rakhne wala kon ho sakta hai aaj ki duniya mein? Anybody with that type of zarf, that type of heart. And these are the people that we have to follow. But it's so far ahead of us, so far, we still have to dream, you know, to be somewhere near them. But at least say that that's the precedent and aspire for that, the least that we can do. We aspire for that, and the least that we can do, at least we do that much. So the Ansar said, no, Ya Rasulallah, these properties that have come available, give it all to the refugees, all. And they must continue living with us. See that? See the upper class, and that homes are coming available. All give it to the Muhajir, all the refugees, and they must continue living with us. Sa'd ibn Ubadah and Sa'd ibn Mu'az spoke on behalf of the Ansar, all. But nonetheless, Rasulullah then decided for them, all right, what shall I do? Give these properties away to the Muhajirin, and what you have shared with them up till now, that return it to them. So they have an equal share, they have a freedom in their property, and you have also some freedom in your property. That was agreed, signed and sealed. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself was a man that was comprehensive, complete, perfect. You can't find a human being at that level. No, you can't find. It's impossible. Today's world, it's impossible to find a human being at that level. So, every person is rewarded according to his status. See? And then لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلْ. There's two categories of Muslims, of Sahaba Kiram. مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلْ. One Jamaat who fought and who spent in the path of Allah Ta'ala before the conquest, the victory of Makkah Mukarramah. Picture of Makkah comes on the 8th year, and one Jamaat that fought in the path of Allah Ta'ala before the victory. And one Jamaat that fought and they spent after the victory. So both can't be the same. Why? The reason is obvious. Those that spent before the conquest of Makkah, right, they have a degree of excellence above the rest. Because any intelligent person, us, any accountant, someone knows about maths and whatever, that he will only invest in an investment when he knows that the returns are secure. If he sees, hey, two big returns now, you know, too big, too quick. Right? He's giving 15% and next year 10%. But this doesn't seem too real. He doesn't want to risk his money, doesn't he? So until you absolutely secure, you feel absolutely certain, then you want to invest. Now, before the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, there is no assurance and no guarantee of Islam continuing. Came up. A lot of difficulty, a lot of pain. There is no guarantee that this thing will sustain the challenges of time. No guarantees, no assurances, right? But with all that, in spite of having no assurance, and no guarantees, they stood in the beast also. Can you see that? So the sacrifice is small. Very great. You can't think of something bigger than that. As Bilal, you know, how he's being dragged. Sumayya, how she's being killed. Ammar, what's happening to him. Yasir, how he's being martyred, right? So all these things we hear about, right? But with all that, they stood. They never give up. Allah Pak rewarded them as well. At the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu anhu was instructed to ascend the Kaaba Sharif and call the Azan. In the meanwhile, three of the hierarchies of the Quraysh Kuffar, they talking amongst themselves, it's lucky that Allah Pak took my father away before this disgraceful event. Second one is saying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't find anything better than a black crow to go and call. Right? And Abu Sufyan says, I'm not going to say anything, because if I'm going to say something, the Rabb of the heavens will inspire him just now. Nabi sallam called them. This is what you have said. Inna Allah, then Nabi sallam gave that khutbah, azhaba alaikum, azhaba minkum, abiyatil jahiliya wa takabburaha. An-nasu rajulan. Allah Ta'ala has abolished all the pride, the arrogance of the day of ignorance. Everything's finished now. People will be divided in just two categories. Minkum mu'min, minkum kafirun, wa minkum mu'min. Just two categories. Barun taqiyun, kareemun alallah. One is he's righteous and he restrains himself from wrong. He's righteous and he restrains. So in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, he's an honorable person. And the other one is fasiqun shaqiyun, right? Hayyunun Allah. And the other one is transgressing, breaking the laws of Allah Ta'ala. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, he's despised, he's despicable. Right? Anyway, Allah Ta'ala rewarded him in this world that he is to call the first person to call the azan in Makkah Mukarramah, and the first person to call the azan in Medina Munawwar as well. First person. Nobody had exceeded him in that level. So Allah Pak gave that honor and that respect. Nonetheless, we're talking about these two categories, Ansar and the Muhajirin. Right? Then you see now these gains of the war. Now who should be the recipients? So primarily, Al-Fuqara Al-Muhajirin. Right? So the first group that is the recipient of these spoils of war is those emigrants, those refugees, right? They have got nothing. Al-Fuqara Al-Muhajirin. Right? They got nothing. Because they were banished, they were thrown out of their homes. Nothing. They were multi-millionaires there in Makkah Mukarramah. They're driven out of the homes. They're living in Medina Munawwara as refugees. So they got nothing. So these people will be the first recipients of the gains, right? So because they lead the foundation. And Allah wants that you respect a person according to his status. Al-Fadlu lil-Mutaqaddim. The one that came right first, right? Where there was no hope, there was no assurance, there was no guarantees. He stood with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that means that these people that came first, right, in any dini work, you give them that type of credence, that type of respect, and that type of acknowledgement. See that? Lil-Fuqara. He's talking about the gains of the war, and who are the first recipients. Then the second recipient, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. So I was trying to look at a good translation. I couldn't find. So thinking on the lugat, etc., how to get this thing right. تَبَوَّ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. They settled in the Darul Iman. They settled in Madina Munawwara. Before the arrival of the refugees, they settled there. Wal Iman, and they were settled in the Iman as well. I'm thinking now, you know, how to translate it. They were settled in the homes of Iman. Madina Munawwara is Darul Iman. So they were settled there, right, before the arrival of the refugees. And number two is, they were settled in the Iman. You know, they were well rooted, established in Iman. Right? And then Allah Pak shows, gives a detailed description of this Iman. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They are loving the refugees. What? They're embracing them, they're loving them. Not just showing a little bit of kindness. No, they love them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Can you see that? When it's a refugee, what do we do? How do we look at the person? What is a kuffar mentality? By, you have nothing, you have no truck with them, so leave them aside. But as Muslims, then what is our take to that person? How do we treat the person? What do we do for the person? What can be the least? What can be the best? What can we do for the person? يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا أُوتُوا. Number two, they don't find a need or a desire for what the muhajirin have been given. They've been given now properties, like I said, Balito and Amslang had been given. They don't even feel a desire, even a need for what they've been given. See that? Then you hear the story of the Sahabi, and a guest comes, a refugee comes, and he tells his wife. The wife says, only enough for the children. So put them off to sleep and switch off the lamp. And do as though you're eating and let him eat you so. And that verse was revealed. You see that? Imagine you work in the whole day and Isha time wants something and a person like me, I don't eat, I can't sleep. So I have to eat something to get the sleep. Right? But now, with all that, he didn't say, alright, I'll just take a little bit and give the rest, or half. So let him eat to his full and I'll sleep hungry. Then here the story of the goat head. And how it's passed from one house to the second until it comes to the first person. Right? Then you hear the story of the Yarmouk, and the brother is looking for his cousin to give him some water as he's passing away. And he hears a groaning sound, second person, third person, fourth person, come back to find everybody dead. But even in that stage, Siruna ala anfusin, they're preferring their brothers to themselves. Can you see that? So they haven't been just given the title for nothing. They stood their grounds. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَ. Even though they were in poverty, even then they stood firm. So you see the muhajirin, the refugee, and then you see the ansar, right? And you see the cooperation, right? How they're working. So these are the first recipients, these are the second repeat recipients. That's what Thami Sabram says, brings a very important point to our attention. So he says, therefore you'll find that most of the dini work is, up to this day, most of the great dini work, the forerunners, who's the forerunners? Either the muhajirin awwalin or the ansar. Up to this day, the forerunners are the muhajirin awwalin. Like you see Tabligh Jamaat or Siddiqis, right? That's the roots. The Shaykh all that, right? Right. You see the Khanqa again, you see the Muwazin Awwalin, Al-Muwa Ganguy Rahmatullah, that's Ansar, right? So Allah Ta'ala blessed them from then to now, that these are the people that are the forerunners in deen. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya. You need something good, Allah will never forget. He will let that thing run for generations, 1400 years, Allah Ta'ala still kept them out running. But they are the forerunners. You can't find a saintly person, a knowledgeable person at that level, you can't find. You can see that. In the Khanqa, they are the forerunners. In the Jamaat line, they are the forerunners. In the Talimi line, they are the forerunners. You look at Qari Tayyib Sahib, Rahmatullahi, forerunners. all. The Shah Sahib, all these people, either Sayyid, Siddiq, Ansar, but all the other foreigners. So one is the Muhajir. Then you get the second group is the Ansar. Right? And then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, those that came after, that means anybody from that time till now. See, anybody that came after till now, right? So what should be their take? You understood the Muhajir, you understood the Ansar, and thereafter from that time till now, people that came afterwards. So what should be their take? See? How should we look at life? And what should be our take? Because on the day of Qiyamah, we also would like to be somewhere near them. You know? My was carrying the shoes or something. Or even being the dust of the shoe, we'll appreciate that. Remember, brothers, you see, we're living in a life of secularism, materialism. Everything that concerns us is just material. So, in my words, I'm saying, we are living in a digital zamana. What? Why is it a digital zamana? Because we just want to see how we can turn the digit. 1 million, 10 million, 100 million. That became the primary concern. Right? And Nabi Sam warns us, إِذَا أَزَمَتْ أُمَّتِي الدُّنْيَا, when the dunya becomes the significant thing in your life. See that? أَزَمَتْ أُمَّتِي الدُّنْيَا, that becomes the most significant thing in your life. And the other hadith speaks about أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرٍ مَا أَزَّمُ هَذِي الْحُرْمَة. Right? The ummah will be blessed until and unless they respect the spot that is the Haram Sharif. Right? Mishkat Sharif in Majah, in Hajar also written on the hadith. As long as they respect this place here, they'll be blessed. فَإِذَا ضَيَّعُوا ذَلِكَ هَلَكُوا. But when they get to destroy this, then they'll be destroyed. So our continuity is proportionate to our respect to these places. And every masjid has to be connected to the Baytullah. Right? So that means, like we respect the Baytullah, we respect all these Bayt. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِينَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ. So we have to respect all these Bayt. For us to be the recipient of these blessings. And hadith is saying, as long as you're going to respect these places here, then that's going to mark your continuity. But the moment you lose the respect for this place, then you're gone. Halak. Now lately some Bangladesh, the Alim, on Khair Alim, some Ruhul Amin, right? He saw Nabi Sam about 80 times. So in this last Hajj, he had a dream that Nabi Sam is telling him, please warn the people that they are snapping around here. This is not the exact words now, but I can remember. Right? But this is causing hurt to me, pain to me. Now this hurt to Nabi Sassan is not a light thing. See that? وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Normally we say, apostasy, disbelief, irtidad, cancels all your deeds. But that hurt that is caused to Nabi Sam also can do the same damage. Because you don't even talk to Nabi Sam in a loud voice. Antahbata a'malukum. The fear is that your deeds can get all cancelled. So I was looking at the tafsir, looking at one, two tafsir. How does it happen now? There's some pain and that results in your deeds being all cancelled. What they say, what the ulama say, that when you cause pain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that grace, that tawfiq to do good, then that begins to get diminished, decreased. So when that gets diminished, right, then you will think of good deeds it's more than casual thing. Come first in the masjid, so what? The Quran Sharif, so what? You can do it, so what? You know, the cup final. You know, you can't make a qaza for that. I have to see it, and I have to see it fresh. I can't see it now second hand, third hand. So that became the significant thing, and the namaz became insignificant. Look at the masjid now, and nikah, what happens, right? This after the nikah, then it's like a party, like a fish, you know, fish market. A free fall, he's talking about something, he's talking. So the significance of the masjid is gone. But then what the hadith speaks about, right? You come and sit in the masjid wuduzu, right? Then ma'alam yuhdis and ma'alam yu'zi ahadan. You don't disturb anybody. And you stay in the state of wuzu. You're disrupting, not disturbing anybody, right? So what happens? The malaika are making dua for you. And they're giving three duas. Allahumma ghafir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, Allahumma salli alayhi. Allah forgive him. Allah bless him. And Allahumma salli alayhi, right? Now, salawat is like a special blessing. You know, I normally say, now, you're coming from Umrah, right? So you bring general presents for everybody, right? But your dear heart then, your dear heart will bring? Huh? Then you say, diamonds are forever, right? Won't you do something? I was missing you and all that, and something as a token, won't you do that? Or you'll just give us a khajur and zabzab. Although the khajur and zabzab supposed to be treated with more respect. But you'll give that, but you'll give something to show, hey, there's a personal attachment here. So that is salli alayhi, right? Allah, a special gift, special. Now they making dua for you, that is the purest creation of Allah Ta'ala, for you to be blessed, and you are disrupting and losing the dua of the malaika that is directed at you. Now, can there be a greater loss? They are making dua for you. Stay in the state of wuzu. Don't disturb anybody. Be respectful to this place. And we'll make dua for you. We'll make dua for you. So you can keep your dua. We will carry on. This is our house. We can do as we want. So you train the malaika. You keep your dua to yourself. I am self-sufficient. I don't need your things. So the importance of respecting. These masjids are all connected to the Baytullah. The Baytullah, the respect that you will show here, then that will be the respect that you show to these places. And now Nabi Sim is complaining there, then can you imagine now what level of pain is caused Nabi Sim for him to ask this person to come and announce it. And then we take it as an insignificant thing. That is why where the hadith says, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا قَبْرِ عِيدًا. Don't make my qabr an Eid. Right? They're given three meanings of Eid. One is, Eid is a place, as a time of surur, rejoicing of that. So don't make it a place of celebration. But you know, in Eid you celebrate. Come here and celebrate. No. Like how you see nowadays in the qabrs, celebrations and what goes on. And the people coming from the sea, Mulana, the best, tastiest kebabs are there, the urus, in the qabrs. So it becomes a place of celebration. Whereas a qabr is supposed to be a place of ibrat, a lesson. The second meaning is, don't make it as an Eid that you come to me only once in a year. Come in close intervals. You know, Eid only comes once a year, so don't do that. But the third meaning is opposite. The third meaning is i'tiyad. Right? That don't make it a habit to come here. Because if you make it a habit to come here, then you'll become casual and you won't show the respect that you ought to. Now any of us that's going frequently to these places, think yourself fairly, without any bias. The respect that you had for the place, the first visit, and now is it the same or is now diluted somewhat? Ask yourself. I don't be the judge. Ask yourself. That respect is supposed to be just progressing from the first time, second time. Now you know what is the Baytullah, you understand, you read the Fazail, the importance of the place. That was just supposed to be on the progress. Is it in progressing or retrogressing? So, for that matter, anything of deen, You know, I was looking at tafsir. So he's saying, you cause pain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What happens first? Then that tawfiq, that grace to do good, and the tawfiq to restrain from wrong, right, that weakens down. So when it weakens down, then you'll do a good, but casually. You won't be so concerned about restraining yourself from wrong, because you become casual, become brazen. And when that comes on, then the tawfiq of making tawbah, then that leaves you, because you became brazen. And then it's just time before the iman leaves you. So, antahbata amalukum wa antum la tashurun. But then again they say that the ulama, righteous ulama, obviously, they are the warisul anbiya. Like you show respect there, show respect here as well. Therefore you see Ibn Abbas, when he's going to search for ilm, and he has to go to the house of an alim, so he won't knock. And now he's getting covered in the dune, in the sand, Arabian hot sun, right? 40, 50 degrees, and he's sitting there. And they would say, how could you do such a thing? You're the cousin of Islam, you should at least notify us. Say, no. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ النَّبِيُّ فِي قَوْمٍ الْعَالِمُ فِي قَوْمٍ كَالنَّبِيِّ. An alim is like a nabi. And Rabak says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ. They must wait until the alim comes out to them of his own leisure. One is, he's doing something and I disrupt him, right? And one is, he came of his own, right, to attend to your business, right? That's a different thing. So the greater thing will be that he comes of his own to you, rather than you disrupting him. Now he's in his home, he needs some privacy for the family, the time, he needs some rest, but now he just puts his head on the pillow and you knock at the door. Is that the way? See, وَلُوْ أَنَّمْ صَبَرُوا لَكَانَ خَيْرَ لَهُمْ. See, so the respect that you showed the Nabi, then that alim is well. And as the respect begins to decrease, then the tawfiq for good also begins to decrease. Everything has to leave you. But you see, respect for the person, respect for the time, Ramadan, and those people were arguing, and that date of the Laylatul Qadr was taken away. See that? Respect for the time. Place, person, and time. Place, I showed you the masjid, the Baitullah, I've shown you, and the person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the time. So all these things have to be respected. Musa Alayhi Salaam is receiving the revelation. And the first lesson, after the lesson of Tawheed, أَنَخْتَرْتُكَ, right? And before that, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْنَ عَلِكَ. Remove your shoes. Right. I'm your Rabb. So that's the first lesson, the lesson of Tawheed, and then respect. Can you see that? So as though the respect is very close to your iman. Allah ta'abudu illa iya bil walidain ihsan. Can you see respect? After Allah ta'ala, then respect. Parents, ulama, anbiya, all is respect. Fakhla'an ali. Fastami'li ma yuha. Again, listen with an undivided mind. Listen attentively. Fasma. Allah could have said, fasma. فَاسْتَمِعْ, listen attentively. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Can you see that? So this element of respect, whether it's person, place and time, this is a thing that we all need to work on in the Jum'ah, in the pre-Jum'ah, in the talks. If you can't give a complete talk on respect, then somewhere at least 2 minutes, 3 minutes, speak about it. Now you're seeing in a nikah, and that after the nikah, everything is free for everybody. So, as though you're seeing Allah Ta'ala, now you've got the sawab for namaz, now you can keep your sawab to yourself, be going, but cancel, everything is alright. That's what he's saying. Yes, you don't need to socialize, go outside, go somewhere else, outside, talk, nobody's stopping you. But here it's Buk'a Mubaraka. Fi buyutin adhin Allahu an turfa. Allah Pak is in the Quran, that Allah Pak is commanding that it be exalted, turfa. His name be taken there. And then we make it as a place for socializing, entertaining. I say, are we defeating the purpose or not? So we're coming back now. We said that the Ummah, there's two categories. Right? The first was the Muhajir, refugee, he initiated the whole thing, right? The whole thing they initiated. So therefore, they are the first recipients of all good and barakat and so on. They initiated at a time. There was no assurance, no future for Islam as they stood. They initiated, right? Then the second category is the category who supported it, right? So in all dini works also you'll get the same. One is to initiate. In initiating, there's no future. Start with something, it's never. Kya hoga? Two children are coming now, one child is coming. In the future, start off Talimi board, one madrasa, two madrasa. Can I see any future? But now, man stands with it. Hey, let me stand with this thing here. I must do this thing here. See. Ka'annahum bunyanum marsus. How you should be standing is like a solid steel structure. I call it solid steel organization. Diversified. What? It's diversified solid steel. Right? So when it's diversified, every part is strong in its own, isn't it? It's diverse. But when you're made of steel, then every part is strong in itself. But every part is contributing to the strength of the next part. Like you see, this wall is contributing to the strength of that one. That one is contributing the strength to this one. Right? So now, primarily, you got three departments in deen, right? And the Nabi has got three works. Yatnu alim. One is the word of Allah Ta'ala. That's the word. To preserve the word. The madrasa does the word. It teaches the word, right? Yu'allimuhumul kitaba. And then to spread the word. Make it perfect. Perfect is now, then to do it also practically. To teach it and do it practically. This is the sawab for this. That's the jamaat work. So one is the word itself, and one is then to spread that word. So each one must cooperate with the other. The muhajir with the ansar with the muhajir. The madrasa with the jamaat, and the jamaat with the ansar. That we are solid structures of steel, diversified. I am doing my thing, you doing very strong. Right? And the scene is like an istima scene, right? Istima scene, you will have a jamaat that is making tashkil, right? And a jamaat that is doing the kitchen, right? A jamaat that is doing the security. But each jamaat is strong, solid in itself, right? If there is no security, there is no traffic control, there is no paramedics, there is no kitchen, then the speaker can also talk. Can he speak? There will be turbulence. So each one is contributing, strong in itself. Very strong, but he is contributing that strength to the other part. Ka'annahum bunyanum marsus. So I'm treating you, I'm looking at you with admiration, with respect, and I need you. The madrasa, I need the jamaat. And the jamaat saying, I need the madrasa. Both will need each other. Right? And they can't be interdependent, can't say dependent, no. I need you. You need me and I need you. And you should be working that. It's firm in your way that at any given time, I'm firm. Holiday or no holiday. But I'm doing this. Isn't it a lesson for us to learn from the jamaat, right? The holiday or no holiday. Ye bistar ban jamaat chal rahi hai. They're moving. And this morning I was thinking, you know, around the 1910 or the late 1800s, right? The shaitan kuffars, they had divided the ummah. Right? That you are Saudi, and you are Kuwaiti, and you are Emirati, and you are Yemeni, all that, right? So they were successful in dividing us and breaking us, right? India, again, same thing. India, Pakistan, they've divided the whole thing. You are Bengali, you are India, you are Pakistan, you are Sindhi, they broke the whole thing. But then I like to look at the positive side, right? But now from all the jamaats that are working in the world presently, who is unifying the work, the Muslims, globally. Yeah? And they say, brothers, there's a foreign jamaat, you must sit here. So, aren't they showing the respect to the foreign jamaat? Yeah? No, he's a foreigner now. He's from Malawi, forget him. Is that the attitude? See the jamaat now. All the respect. He's a foreign jamaat. Yeah? Look after the jamaat. The Masturat foreign jamaat came from here. So look after the jamaat. Yeah? How much of respect don't we show? But now bringing about this type of unity in the Ummah, who's largely responsible? You have to give the credit where you deserve to give it, right? Then you get a third Jamaat, and the third Jamaat will use a Zakkihim, to sanctify and to purify. Because both the Jamaats, whether it's Madrasa, whether it is the Jamaat, they need that sanctifying and the purification. Because without the sanctifying, the first three people to go to Jahannam is who? No sanctifying. They didn't purify. Allah. First three Jamaats, they didn't do the purification. They didn't go through that. What's happening to them, right? All these things refer to the purification. The purification of the outer self and the inner self, right? So that's the third duty of the Nabi, to sanctify and to purify. Tawakkul, trust in Allah Ta'ala, what does it relate to? Zahir or the Batin? Okay. All these things happening. How many of us are trusting Allah Ta'ala, pleading Allah Ta'ala? How much of us are relying on Allah Ta'ala? No, do this one year, do this. Nobody's saying, don't take your security measures. But how many of us are relating to Allah Ta'ala, bonding, asking, begging, and trusting Allah Ta'ala? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا يُوِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ How many of us are giving talks and bayans, but there is still an element of pride. كَالَّذِي يُنْفِكُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ Everything getting cancelled, right, to show. See that? How many people, how many of us are now boasting, proud, greedy, malicious? Don't we have that? Now if I got malice and I'm going in Jamaat, I want to put this person down, in the bayan, push him down, right? I don't want to give him a turn. You go for gush, I'll give the bayan. See that? So can the work well? So both the Jamaats need the sanctifying and the purification for that thing to grow strong and well. And that requires that each part of it contributes its strength to the other. Now, if Nabi Sam sees us like that, won't his heart be pleased? So this third Jamaat, what they're supposed to be doing? Rabbana Fillana. So we acknowledge, recognize this first Jamaat. Right? Then the second Jamaat, we recognize them. And we make dua for them. We love them and we make dua for them. We make dua for them. And also make dua, la tajalada, leave no malice in our hearts. No ill feeling against our predecessors. No malice. As Hussein radiallahu anhu, someone was trying to slander some sahabi. So Hussein radiallahu anhu says to him, do you belong to the muhajir, to the refugees? I'm deliberately translating as refugees, right? No. Do you belong to the Ansar? He said, no. Then there's only one chance left of you, that you belong to the third group. And the third group is to love the first two group and make dua for them. And if you want to slander, hurl, abuse them, you will be out of them as well. So you got no place in Islam. Therefore, Imam Malik used to say, if anybody dislikes or runs down the Sahaba Kiram, then he is not eligible to the gains of the Muslims. Not eligible. Because you're a suspect. Allah is saying, respect them. Make dua for them, and you say, I hate them. And Allah is saying, وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى All of them, I have promised Jannah. Husna, I promised Jannah to all. He said, no, I hate them. Why they go to Jannah? So, is there any iman in the person's heart? No iman. That famous hadith we hear repeatedly, that Nabi Sam is sitting in the circle of the Sahaba Kiram, and he says, just now, a jannat is to come to you. And not long after that, one sahabi is coming in with the shoe in the left hand, and the water is dripping from his beard. So it's in the circle. Second day, Nabi says, a jannat is coming. Same person comes again. Third day. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, you know, he goes to his sahabi, says, you know, I took an oath that I'm not going to go home for 3 days. So I need to stay with you. It's all right. So he didn't see him doing something elaborate. The sunnah's all right, all the zikr, Quran Sharif, whatever. But nothing significant, nothing extraordinary. So by the third day he says, you know, this is what Nabi Sam says about you, that you're a jannati. But I stayed 3 days with you, I don't see anything significant in you. So yeah, I am what I am. So he felt more disappointed. Now the Sahaba Kiram said, they don't want to disappoint. hearts are like oceans, right? Of beauty. Not salt. Of sweetness and of beauty. Don't let this fool you. I made a commitment that I would have no malice and no jealousy against any Muslim. No malice, nothing in my heart. And I ask you, isn't that a very, very cheap price to pay? You know, do your sunnahs, how much you can do, do the faras, but no malice, no jealousy, no dislike, no rancor in your heart for any Muslim, any Muslims. It is something, maybe I am not in agreement, or let it be. I am not in agreement, but Allah is the judge. It's something that's between Him and Allah Ta'ala. Outwardly it doesn't seem to be haram, but I am not in agreement, leave it. Leave it to Allah Ta'ala, He'll judge. But I must not harbor and have any ill feelings in my heart, any jealousy, any malice. Oh, he's madrasa, and he's progressing. Students are coming, leave my madrasa, I'm going to him. Yeah, he's bribing them. Hey, what business you got to make this type of statements or to entertain this type of thoughts? Any business. In fact, you'll be losing all. He's doing well, I'll do better for him, and do good for me as well. Class, end of the story. Why must we go behind all these things? So, if you want to belong to any of these three categories, either initiate the work, or support the work, or then be good, make dua for them, support them, encourage them, whichever way you can support according to your means and capacity. Allah Pak Tawfiq Iskwar.